Welcome to the author commentary for Star Wars From a Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back. Here we go behind the scenes with contributors to discuss the creative process behind their stories. Word of caution before we start, these conversations may contain story spoilers. I'm Tom Holler, one of the Delray editors who worked on this project. And right now, I'm talking to Jason Fry, author of a story called Rendezvous Point. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Thanks. Appreciate being here.
So your story has the interesting role of helping to answer kind of a strange but obvious question about Empire Strikes Back that's kind of been sitting in front of us for 40 years, which is, after the Rebel Alliance leaves Hoth, what happens to all of them? Because we do not follow them. The movie follows, you know, Han, Luke, and Leia. So what was the most compelling part about taking on a story that essentially solves a 40-year-old quandary?
It's an interesting moment in time for the Alliance that I'd always been kind of fascinated by. As you say, where do they go? But to me also, what's the feeling? What's the morale? What are they planning? What can they not figure out? And a couple of stories in Legends took that on. And I know the new Star Wars comic series from Marvel has set some stories there. But what I was really interested in was the psychological point that the Alliance is at. I mean, if you think about it from their perspective, everyone leaves Hoth, those who survive, as quickly as they can. They get somewhere else. And then what happens? There's no Princess Leia we've never settled how much time. For weeks and weeks, at least, there's no Luke Skywalker. So you've just stripped the Alliance of two of its principal heroes. How do they go on? How do they deal with that uncertainty, et cetera? And so for me, that was a really interesting avenue to explore. And then Wedge Antilles was a very logical character to tackle that, because he's kind of right at the center of everything that raises.
And speaking of Wedge, you actually returned to Wedge. You, in the first From a Certain Point of View, you wrote about Wedge, or you wrote about Wedge in a certain way, and now you return to him, and you've sort of kind of gotten to it a little bit. But for you, what makes Wedge not such a compelling character to write for in this particular moment, specifically as it relates to leadership? Because Wedge is thrust in your story and in this moment into kind of taking on some of that, into that leadership vacuum, despite the fact that, like, that's sort of his worst nightmare right now, or at least your story sort of plays around with that idea. It's like the last person who wants to be in charge is Wedge Antilles, but maybe that makes him the best person to be in charge because of that.
Yeah, no, I think that's it. The lot of Wedge has always struck me as he's been called. This is his duty. He's going to do the best he can. But, you know, what he does is he's a professional killer. That's essentially what he has to be. As a squadron leader, and accepting that, not embracing that, because I don't think that's the kind of thing anybody can embrace, but understanding the need for that in a galactic civil war. But the other thing that was really important for me to explore is Wedge, if you think about it, has been in the shadow of Luke. He was Luke's wingman. Luke blows up the Death Star. Luke becomes this incredible symbol of the Alliance. And, you know, how do you possibly do what you do in that shadow? And suddenly, it's not like Luke is dead and Wedge has to take that over. It's that Luke is missing. And so I thought it was very natural for Wedge in that situation, along with feeling still tremendously guilty about having to bail out of the trench over the Death Star, which is something I explored in the earlier story. You know, that's an incredibly tough role to step into. And I was really curious how he would tackle that. The other thing, I mean, you mentioned Duty Roster from the first From a Certain Point of View anthology. And I knew I wanted to go back to Wedge for a couple reasons, chief among them that I just love pilots and starfighters and, you know, what a fun thing to explore. But I also, you know, I'm really proud of that story and I like that story, but it's a very meta story. It starts with basically what's an inside joke, that there are two actors who play Wedge, and what if one of them, in fact, is not Wedge? And, you know, which I thought was fun, and it was a lot of fun to play with, but, you know, that's basically the joke. And then the challenge of that was having to craft a story that went beyond the joke and turned it into something satisfying. So another thing that was appealing about Wedge was going back to that character, but then writing a story that felt very different, that's not meta, that's very kind of straightforward, and I hope heartfelt and puts you right kind of in the action and lets you see what happens.
Oh, that's one of the things that like I appreciate and enjoy so much about the story is that, you know, as far as starfighter and pilot stories go, and you know this from both having written them and liking them so much, is there's always like a variety of themes that you can play on. But particularly as far as Star Wars is concerned, I think a great legacy of those stories is there's always this great sense of fun and adventure and fulfilling the fantasy of you get to sit behind the cockpit of an X-Wing or another cool ship and fly around. But this particular story is not afraid to really bring us down to the very base level of like the serious parts of being a starfighter pilot, from like just like the physical toll it takes on you from being stuck in a starfighter for hours, days on end, to having to deal with the fact that you're leading people into battle and many of them aren't going to come back, and sure, you both led them there, so that's your fault, but you know, you couldn't have done anything, but you have to grapple with that, to the fact that, I mean, it's incredible. You have this great moment where Wedge basically voices to one of his new pilots, like what it means to take a life and how he, Wedge Antilles, you know, grapples with that and why he's able, you know, how he keeps going with that. Is it hard to balance those things? And like, was it particularly important for you to kind of include these, you know, very like real or sort of more serious themes juxtaposed to, oh my gosh, I'm writing about Star Wars fighter pilots?
Yeah, I did want to have some of that I did want to have some of the serious stuff, because I think that's an interesting part of Wedge. I mean, when we see him basically anywhere in the timeline, when we see him at say Endor, where he's very different from the character we've seen in Empire, you know, something has happened to him that has brought him there. You know, in the New Republic stories, whether it's new canon or Legends, I mean, you can really feel kind of the weight of war sitting on him, which I think is an important part of that character. And so I did want to explore that in ways that, you know, might be a little tough in a popcorn movie, but I felt like you could do on screen. But, you know, which is not to disparage popcorn movies at all. I mean, we're here because we all love a certain series of them. But the other part of that is, you know, and this is something I learned from Rian Johnson when we sat down for the Last Jedi novelization, was Ryan said something to me that's become one of my commandments as a writer. And he said, lift, not drag. And what he said was that The Last Jedi had a lot of really kind of deep stuff and heavy moments and themes. But he always wanted to make sure that within a couple of minutes of those, you'd have something light and kind of Flash Gordon and fun and very Star Wars. And that, I thought that was such a great commandment that it's become, you know, something kind of above my desk for anything I write. And so for this story, I was looking for a way to balance that. And I think the best way to do that is always with characters and interactions. So you have Wedge, but you have Jansen, who kind of, you know, brings to you some of that sort of popcorn feel and the fun of just starfighters blazing around and going pew pew. So hopefully there's a balance there that makes the story fun, but also gives you some things to think about.
No, there definitely is. And as you mentioned, like we're at an interesting point in the movie, and particularly for the rebellion, where they are, you know, they're forced to grapple with these serious issues face on, because while they escaped and that's a victory, it's like we saw them lose people, lose resources, lose time, and now they are struggling with the potential loss of some of their main leaders. So it makes sense for that to be central to what Wedge is grappling with. But he's not the only leader or figure in this story who's kind of grappling with these issues. And you included right from the start this really interesting character who many Star Wars readers might not be that familiar with, and that's the character who is only known as the Contessa, which is just, you know, it's a great title for someone to have. So tell us a bit more about the Contessa, why you wanted to incorporate her into this story, and how she sort of fits in what's going on here.
She was a character who really intrigued me. I mean, I first encountered her. She's Claudia Gray's character from Lost Stars. And yeah, like a lot of things in Star Wars fiction, she's kind of a cameo character, is there for a couple scenes. But I was so intrigued by her that I was like, I want to know more about the Contessa. And, you know, one of the really fun things about Star Wars storytelling is that it's all a big sandbox. And so I wanted a character who was kind of a mentor for Wedge, but also would kind of push him and butt up against him in the struggles of command. And, you know, there it came together. I was like, well, that's a chance to explore the character Claudia introduced a little bit and use her in that regard. So that was a lot of fun. The backstory there, I think, is an interesting revelation that hopefully has some weight for the reader. And you know, and as a courtesy, I went to Claudia and said, "Hey, is this okay with you?" Which is even more fun. So we got to talk about this amazing character a little bit more. But spoiler, her real name is not revealed, because I thought honestly it was more fun this way.
I think so. Also, I mean, again, when you have such a great title like that, like, you know, you don't want to find out that there's, you know, any name behind that is probably not going to be as good as the Contessa. Maybe, yeah. But like for the most part, probably not. I think it is, this is something you and I talked about from like the outline, from the pitch of the story all the way through. It's impossible to read more than a few lines of this story, much less a full page, without feeling the tremendous sort of inspiration and homages that you are telling to classic Star Wars Starfighter tales, particularly, you know, the classic books and works of folks like Aaron Alston and Michael Stackpole, who keen readers may find an Easter egg regarding those two hidden in the book or in this particular story. So what is it about those classic stories that you wanted to emulate here in developing this kind of new Starfighter tale?
I just loved the X-Wing series so much that Mike and Aaron brought to life. I think it's a touch point for a lot of fans back in the day, and it just had exactly what I was going for here. I mean, it had, you know, a lot of drama and some melodrama, which is always fun, and some great characters, new and old, and you know, explorations of war and leadership and command and all that. But it, you know, lift not drag. It never lost that. Because both Mike and Aaron, I mean, brought those characters to life and made you want to spend time with them. I mean, those are books that you're, you know, when you get it at the bookstore and it's really thick, you're happy because there's even more of it. And you're like, you don't want it to end. So yeah, it was really fun getting to pay homage, not just in the feel of Rendezvous Point, but also in a couple of sneaky specific references. Like, so, okay. The story's a little meta here and there, but I think it's for a good cause.
Well, then it pairs very well with Duty Roster in that way. Yeah. So, I mean, then we have to sort of wrap this up. I have to ask you really truthfully and honestly, as one of the sort of homages, how excited were you when you had this moment of being like, oh, Hub Grub Commander, that's the line. How excited were you?
It was actually really relieved because, you know, Yub Yub Commander is such a great line from those books, but we're pre-Endor. Like, what do we do? So, and you know, Ub is not really so easy to rhyme. So I had to look around for something that would actually work and, but wouldn't seem so absolutely ridiculous that you'd be like, oh, come on, Jason, are you kidding me? And, But you know, there it was, and it worked, and it fit Jansen, and I just hope readers see what I was doing, that, you know, this is a tip of the cap to those two authors and their series and how much I loved it, and hopefully this story conjures just a little bit of the magic they gave us.
I think it does, and it's great. It also has the designation of being the longest story in the anthology, which is pretty cool. And is something you asked me about at the beginning, you're like, how long is this allowed to be? So I knew we were going to get a long tale, but as you talked about with when you get to the bookstore and you would get one of those classic X-Wing books and be like, yes, it's long, there's a lot here. Yeah. I think as you read, you're just like, do I get to spend more time with these people? Do I get to spend more time? And yes, dear reader, if you haven't read the story already, you do get to spend quite a bit of time with all these great characters, which is wonderful. So I want to thank you for coming to hang out today and coming to talk to us about Wedge and Rendezvous Point. This is really, really great. And like I said, it helps answer that cool question of where does Rebellion go? But as you said, it kind of goes much more beyond that into all of these amazing Star Wars characters, both old and classic and new. So thanks.
Thanks so much, Dom. Really enjoyed it. And I hope everyone enjoys this book. There's so many wonderful stories here, and it's just, and it's all for a good cause, and it's just an amazing thing to be a part of.
Yeah, it's one of the most fun things to work on. So thank you again, Jason, and thank everyone for listening. You can read Rendezvous Point and all the other stories in From a Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back, which is available right now from all your favorite booksellers in print, ebook, and as audio download. Thank you, and may the force be with you.